Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. At a time when more and more weeklies, even daily print publications, are folding, Baltimore is home to a brand new weekly newspaper, the Baltimore Beat. The first issue landed in local establishments and came online just 2 days ago. Risen out of the ashes of Baltimore's now-defunct City Paper, the Baltimore Beat masthead boasts familiar names from its bylines. But the Beat is determined to take a slightly different tack than its weekly predecessor, its editorial board says. Here to tell us about what's in store is the Beat's editor-in-chief, Lisa Snowden McCray. Snowden McCray has a long career as a journalist in Baltimore. She's written for the Afro-American, City Paper, and the Baltimore Sun, and was also a web producer at WJZ-TV. Welcome to On the Record, and congratulations on this launch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The cover story for the first issue is your interview with Erica Bridgeford, the organizer of the city's 72-hour Baltimore ceasefire. How did you decide to make that Baltimore Beat's first cover story?
Well, we went back and forth about it because we knew that it was really important. We knew that Erica's message was really important, but we knew also that we would be coming out a little bit after the fact. So first we said no, and then, you know, I follow Erica on Facebook, and I follow the social media accounts for the ceasefire. And so I've kind of seen how they've evolved and kind of like the message that they put out, and I felt like it was still important enough that we could go back a little bit and, you know, obviously not cover the events as they happen, but we could take a more reflective look at it and talk a little bit about how they've changed, how they haven't changed, kind of taking stock of this now that they have two events under their belt.
It is a very insightful interview. She talks about the spirituality involved in it. What were you trying to learn from her?
I just feel like when you're someone like Erica, you're a Black woman from Baltimore City, there's already so many. Baltimore City is such a loaded place for so many people. There's so many people that say Baltimore or Detroit or Chicago, but they mean lots of bad things about Black people. And I think that Erica kind of stepping up and just being who she is, voicing her thoughts kind of very, very freely is very interesting to me. So that's why I wanted to talk to her. Because, like, even it's one of the things where if you read a lot of the comments on The Sun or read comments on other things, you hear such awful things about this city. And they're just not true. Like, there's people like Erica. There's people, many people. I covered the first ceasefire with when I was with the City Paper. And one of the things that I learned at different events is there's so many people that have these little groups that they've been working on for years and years, 10 and 20 years, that you just don't ever hear about. But there's just so many people doing amazing work. And that was also a reason why I wanted to cover this, just to kind of like highlight that.
What else will readers find in the first issue?
Well, we have Maura Callahan, who did arts for the City Paper. So she wrote a review of a few plays, one of which is a play at Everyman. She also did an art exhibit. One of the things that I think was really important about working with Maura and why I was so excited to have her on board is that in one of the very early meetings, she said that she didn't see art as playing second fiddle to, like, hard news. She said that art is kind of like, is just as important, because just like the ceasefire story, it's not actually reporting on the ceasefire. It's a reflective look. Art can often be a reflective look. So she does a piece on a live performance art piece called La Bodies, and it's people who, in their own way, are addressing the issue of protest.
What else?
We have Brandon Soderberg, who was the former editor-in-chief of City Paper, who has this amazing brain for music. I think you've talked to him before. So he did a write-up on some of the local singles, like music singles that are out right now. Very comprehensive, broad look at that. Another important thing about what we're doing now is that we have teamed up with the Real News Network here in Baltimore, and also The Blade in Washington. Also, they have a branch in Los Angeles. So they have news reports also. So we have some news briefs from them. We have a longer piece from one of the real news writers also on the ceasefire, a piece on mothers whose children had been lost to gun violence. So it's a really thoughtful, insightful piece. The Blade has local, you know, things that are going on in the LGBTQ community, and that's important too.
And you have an interview by high school students.
Yes, yes. Brandon and I have actually done some work with Writers in Baltimore. It's a nonprofit here in the city that works with kids that want to be writers. We worked with them back in August, where they had like a retreat in Frederick. And, you know, talk to them about writing, work with them on some projects. They're amazing kids. It makes me feel really good about the future of journalism because they're insightful, they're smart, they're talented. So they did an interview with...
They interviewed Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Yes.
The writer.
Yes, and that's a really great piece also.
After City Paper closed this month, after 40 years, Brandon Soderberg, whom you mentioned, attempted to keep it going as a nonprofit, and then he established the Baltimore Institute for Nonprofit Journalism, which I guess is acronymed BINJ, with funds from an Indiegogo campaign. BINJ is described as, quote, a guerrilla newsroom that funds stories, pays journalists, and partners with independent media outlets to distribute the work, close quote. So did the beat grow from BINJ, or what's the connection?
They're not really connected right now. That's a thing that Brandon did with the help of Baynard. Actually, it's patterned off of another one that's in Boston, also called BINJ because it's Boston with a B. So they're working with people who maybe don't have, like, there's not very many outlets in the cities. So people who have projects that they want to get out there, they're teaming up with them and helping them get placed, helping to finance them. Our next cover story, the photos are going to be provided by a young photographer here in Baltimore called, his name is Reginald Thomas. So he's working on a zine right now also, and they're helping him with that. But there's not really like a beat BINJ connection, at least right now.
You mentioned, though, that several bylines we recognize from City Paper will be seen in Baltimore Beat. So maybe people are making the assumption that Baltimore Beat is the replacement for City Paper. Beat's messaging is that it's not just a replacement. What's going to distinguish the Beat from City Paper?
I'd really like to push myself and the other people on the editorial board out of our boundaries as much as possible. City Paper and also Beat are related in that they are alt-weekly, so they grow out of that tradition. But, and it's great for a lot of ways, it's produced some great journalism, some great arts coverage and music coverage. It's also been really, really white. I think that things got a little bit better towards the end of City Paper. They brought me on, they brought Reggie on, Reginald Thomas. Kenneth Breckford was a writer of color. But it's something that we really need to do better on. Like, there's so many communities here in Baltimore that you never hear from. That's really the only difference. Like, we're still going to be really committed to deep dives and, you know, really thoughtful journalism, but just pushing it to be as diverse as it can be.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Lisa Snowden-McCray, editor-in-chief of the Baltimore Beat, about plans for Baltimore's new weekly newspaper. I cannot continue this interview without asking, is it the Baltimore Beat or Baltimore Beat? Should we use the article with it?
Yeah, the Baltimore Beat.
The Baltimore Beat. Tell us more about the Beat's collaboration with the Real News Network.
Yeah, I feel like the day that we announced that we were coming out, there were several places across the country, journalistic outlets that announced they were either closing or going online only. One of the problems, I think, with journalism is that we're kind of beholden to these large corporate structures. So the thing that's interesting about this is that it's kind of like this network of smaller structures. So with the Baltimore Beat, we're tiny. There's only three people on the editorial staff, it's me, Brandon, and Maura, we can't do everything, although we wrote a lot for this issue. So we need help from the Real News. We need help from the Blade's resources. We can all share that, and it can be a more manageable load to bear. We don't have to, you know, answer to a giant corporate structure. We don't have to keep this giant building open and running. So it's another way of trying to build sustainable journalism.
And you intend to be both print and online?
Yeah, that's been really important to us from the beginning.
Because, why?
You know, I have a phone that's basically glued to my hand. I have the luxury of having, you know, a smartphone and being able to buy a plan, and I have Wi-Fi at home. But not everybody does, and especially in Baltimore City, there's large swaths of the city who don't have reliable, good internet access. So one of the things that we loved about the City Paper and wanted to make sure it happened here is that you could access it in any way. So you could access it on your phone or on your laptop or your computer, whatever. But you could also find it at the bus stop or find it in a coffee shop or find it, you know, at a bar if you're sitting at a bar by yourself having a drink.
And City Paper tried to support itself financially by selling ads. It sold a lot of ads,
mm-hmm.
And did not charge for the paper.
Right.
Same business model for you?
Yeah, except for that, you know, they were attached to a huge structure that we don't have to worry about supporting as much.
Well, on that point, you yourself had a very brief stint at the Baltimore Sun as the community coordinator.
Yes.
Before leaving that to take this leap to start as editor-in-chief at The Beat. What did it feel like to take that leap?
It was very, very scary. Like, very scary. I think that's probably, I was at The Sun for about 3 months. It's probably the shortest I've ever had a job. I loved being there. I loved working with the people that I worked with. I was on the editorial board, and every day we got to weigh in on things. My opinion was valued, just like people that had been on the board for decades. I got to see, you know, really passionate, smart journalists every day. I could grab Justin Fenton and ask him about a story he wrote. So it wasn't that I was unhappy there at all. But
sounds like a great job.
Yeah. But also, you know, one of the things that I always talk about when I have opportunity, when people give me microphones like you have, is that there's a need for diversity in journalism. So this was like a real opportunity to kind of like put my money where my mouth is and say, okay, well, I do all this talking about the way things should be, and I'm being offered this position to be a Black woman editor when there's not too many of us in the country. So that was important for me to take, and, you know, I just, after a while, I was like, I gotta go for it. I gotta try it.
How will you measure your success?
If we produce stories that people like, that create change both in the way that businesses run in Baltimore and the way people think, that would be a success for me.
What are some of the stories that you're planning? Or do you want to hold them secret so that your competitors don't grab them?
I am going to hold them secret for now.
What do you want people to count on The Beat for?
One of the things that I really want people to count on is, in addition to the reporting, which is good, I want people to have access to, like, the basic information that you sometimes kind of take for granted. So one of the things that we have in this issue is a listing of community events, like places to go and get a recycling bin, or a special hearing that the city council's doing, or even West Wednesdays, the weekly protest about police brutality. Like, those are the things that I think, they're kind of common sense things that I think kind of get lost in the shuffle sometimes.
Well, I wish you luck with this. It's a
Thank
big project.
You. Yes, very big.
Lisa Snowden-McRae is editor-in-chief of The Baltimore Beat, Baltimore's new weekly newspaper, its first issue out this week. You can find a link to The Beat at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. After the break, On the Record, a Stoop story from another Baltimore writer. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.